in our lives. Father, be glorified in this place. Father, be glorified in everything that concerns us in the name of Jesus. And Father, as your word comes forth this morning, Lord, let lives be enriched. Father, let understanding be given. Father, let knowledge be gotten in the name of Jesus. Father, let your wisdom flow. Let lives be illuminated with your light in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Glorious is your name. As your grace is multiplied here today, in the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Can you put your hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can we open to the book of Matthew? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Chapter 19. And then we'll read from verse 16. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I pray that the Lord will give you understanding this morning in the name of Jesus. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life," listen, he says, if you want to enter into life, he says, "keep the commandments." Verse 18, he said to him, "Which ones?" The young man said to Jesus, "Which of the commandments?" Jesus counted them for him. "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness." Verse 19, "Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 20, the young man said to Jesus, "All these things I have kept from the days of my youth. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell whatever that you have, and then give to the poor." Take note. He says, "Sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, and then follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, pause. There is a contrast between the poor and the rich. There is one that is rich, and then he says, "Give to the poor." He says, the rich, it will be difficult for the rich to go to heaven, to have life. Then go to verse 25. We'll stop at 26. When the disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Now, it's referring to that rich man. It says, it is with God that a rich man can be saved. So it would take God for a very wealthy man to be saved. That's what he's saying. Praise God. The rich man can't go to heaven. How is it? It says the rich man cannot go to heaven. Now, there is a phenomenon. There is an existence today that shakes and challenges the Christian faith. There is an existence. There is a phenomenon that shakes, it rattles the Christian faith. A challenge to the kingdom of God. It has become a monster. It's a huge challenge to the kingdom of God. This too has become from the very beginning. So it's a great concern that needs to be understood, tackled, and overcome intentionally and individually. I am talking about that phenomenon. I am talking about that existence. This phenomenon has led many away. This phenomenon has taken people away from faith. It has taken a man's strength. It has taken a man's courage. It has taken a man's peace. This same phenomenon, it has torn many families apart. It has crushed many marriages. It has created and caused betrayals, even in relationships. I am talking about this phenomenon. It has put an edge in the voice of many. It has reduced man even to as much as rubble. It has forced prostration. It has forced vulnerability in man. It has reduced man to, I don't know how to explain it. Praise God. Do you know what this phenomenon is? I have described a phenomenon. Do you know what that phenomenon is? Poverty. Poverty. Praise God. Poverty is an existence that has dealt a blow to man. It has taken a man's strength. It has taken a man's voice. It has crushed marriages. It has destroyed lives. It has led many away from faith. It has reduced man to rubble. It's a huge concern in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. In the kingdom of God, of our God, is a huge concern. This morning, I'd like to speak to us on a topic I have titled, Poverty is not of God. Poverty is what? Is not of God. So, you must reject it. Hallelujah. Poverty is not of God. It is not a creation of God. It is not a nature of God. It is not in the nature of God. It is not an invention of God. Fortunately, it is not even an invention of Satan. It is not an invention of Satan. Inasmuch as it is not a creation of God. Hallelujah. In God's creation, in the period that God completed his creation, whether it was in 6 days, whether it was in 6,000 years, but in this period, poverty, and it's even in life, like death, they were not mentioned. Poverty was not among what God created. Death was not even among what God created. Praise God. They were not mentioned. There is no poverty in God. There is no death in God. Remember in Eden, Adam had a life without poverty. Adam had a life without sickness. He had a life without disease because Adam did not lack anything when God made him. In that Eden, Adam didn't lack anything. He had everything in abundance. Praise God. Like I said, poverty, death, they were not a creation of God, but they were a creation of man. It was man that created poverty. It was also man that introduced death. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, shakatos kopran de heshka. Lingre de hind has efrodi hekadalia shufridis ke. Of anglu fihis hikash. He says there are some of you that will not be hidden again from my presence. And he says that I'm going to search you out wherever that you are. You will not be hidden again from me because I will search you out. Osha suvri kash. Lemaski vridish. Oblu vrihi kadash is imbrodihi kadash. He says, in me, there is no poverty. Poverty is not in my nature. And it has never been part of me. It was not part of what I created. So it should not be part of you. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says something. God gave an instruction to Adam. He said to him, of every tree in the garden, eat. He only told him not to eat one. He said, in this whole place, everything that you see inside, eat it. It's meant for food for you. But there is one, don't eat it. That's what he says. He said, for when you eat it, you will die. Praise God. That in that verse refers to a combination of immediate spiritual disconnection, separation from God. And it's also an introduction of death, even in the future. So it was man, by disobedience, created death, not God. Because it was not among the things that he created, even in the time of 6,000 years that he took to create the world and create the earth and everything. Or even in 6 days that he took to create the earth. It was not part of them. Everything that, I'd like to ask you, is that good? The Bible says that everything that God made, he said it was good. So it was not part of what he created. It was an introduction of man. Man brought it into existence. Hallelujah. He brought it into existence. It talks about a separation, complete separation from God. And then he introduces, it talks about the introduction of complete death in the future. Praise God. Hallelujah. Talking about physical mortality. Their obedience to this one command that God said they should not eat from has brought doom, has brought poverty to man. Praise God. If he told them, don't eat from this one, eat from every other one, and they obeyed, man would have had a continued life and health. They would have had continued abundance and happiness and relationship with God. But from the moment that they ate from that one, he said they should not eat from, everything ceased. Poverty means living extremely poor, being extremely poor. That's what poverty is. There's no other way you can define poverty. Praise God. Always living in insufficiency. Always living in lack and in scarcity and in penury and in destitution. That's what poverty is. Poverty is not a one-time event. Poverty is a lifetime, how do I explain it? It's something that is extended. It's not a one-time thing. Praise God. Poverty, you are not poor because you don't have something in your pocket or you don't have food today. That's not what it means to be poor. It is when you always live in insufficiency. That is poverty. It is when you always live in scarcity, in lack. It is when you become a destitute. That is poverty. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is not the absence of money in your bank account. It is not the absence of money in your pocket. That's not poverty. It's not because you don't have food to eat today. That's not poverty. Like I said, it's a creation of man. It's a man-made thing. Poverty is a condition of need resulting from various causes. And of course, not limited to social injustice. Praise God. It's not limited to our social systems today that we face. It's not limited to injustices that is being experienced in the world that we live today. Praise God. It's as a result of human actions like cruelty. It is as a result of human actions like laziness, like greed. It has to do with corruption. It has to do with oppression. It has to do with disaster. It has to do with egoism. Talking about self-interest, and then you think that this is moral. It's about you. It's about me. Let me gather it to myself. And then you think that it is a moral thing. It's the right thing to do. Like we see our people today experience. Praise God. I will not forget to mention that the useless politics that they play around the world today. That has actually aggravated poverty. Praise God. In the spiritual context, poverty is described as a spiritual helplessness and then the need to rely in God. Spiritual helplessness, that is poverty. Praise God. Spiritual helplessness. Poverty is as a result of sin. You already know. Hallelujah. Poverty is a consequence of broken relationship with God. After Adam and Eve sinned against God, God told them that the ground will be cursed for their sake. God said to them that they will struggle and then they will till the ground. They will toil before they can eat. That they will experience hardship. Why? Because they disobeyed God. It means that poverty will come as a result of disobedience to God. It doesn't matter how, but whichever way that you disobey God, there will be poverty. One thing that brings poverty to man is disobedience to God's word. Listen to me. We read a place in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, and then we read from verse 16, talking about the rich young man. The Bible says that this man was wealthy, and then Jesus said to him, the only thing that you will do to have life is to keep my commandments. That is, don't disobey my commandment. That's what the Bible says, Jesus speaking. And then the man said, I have kept all these things that you have just mentioned. He read all the commandments and he asked him to keep. He said, I have kept all them from the days of my youth. And let me tell you something. I've always said it. The reason why that man was rich and wealthy was because he did not disobey the word of God. He did not disobey the commandments of God. He kept the statutes of the Lord. He kept it. And then the Bible said the man was rich, extremely rich. And then Jesus said to him, then there's another. Because there's another leg, there's another extension. And that extension is that there's something that, because there will always be the poor. He said, there is something that will have to happen. He said, you have to help the poor. You have to give to the poor. Sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. The man said, no, I will not do it. And he walked away. Have you ever imagined what happened to the man afterwards? The Bible didn't explicitly tell us what happened. But I can just imagine what would have happened to him. I don't know if he lost everything. Praise God. I don't know if he lost his life, but obviously Jesus said that it is very difficult for a man who is wealthy in that manner to go to heaven, to have life. He says it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle, meaning it's much more difficult for such a man to have life. It means that the poor, God is very interested in the poor. Why did he say, sell everything and give it to the poor? Why? God is interested in the poor. You know why? God did not make man to be poor from the origin of time, from the beginning of time. He didn't make man to be poor. And so God seeks to correct it. Praise God. He seeks to correct it. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 17, and then we'll read to 19. You will look at it. God cursed the ground. He said, then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it and all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you shall be taken, for the dust you are, and to the dust you shall return. This was the existence, how that poverty came into being. Praise God. It was man that created it. It was not God that created it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Poverty in itself, I've heard people say, in fact, a man of God preached it sometime. He said that poverty is a sin. I don't understand how that poverty is a sin. He said poverty in itself is not a sin. Praise God. It is a choice. It is a bad choice. It is a destructive choice. It is a curse. Praise God. It is a mentality. Poverty is a mindset. Poverty is a lack of understanding. That's what poverty is all about. Poverty is a situation. Hallelujah. It is a consequence. It is a limitation. And a lengthened limitation. However, poverty is not good. It is not of God. And so you must reject it. You must be conscious about it. You must be intentional about it. You must reject it. It's not of God. It's a complex socioeconomic issue that is often caused by factors beyond an individual's control. You know, a man that is poor, he doesn't know what to do. He's in a state of helplessness. He doesn't even know how to come out of it. In fact, a man that is extremely poor, like we described today, has nothing working inside of him. He is at the mercy of everything that comes his way. And so he becomes extremely vulnerable. Praise God. Hallelujah. Moses declared to Israel, he told them, that this thing is not of God. It's a choice. He gathered them and said, it's a choice. He said, I call heaven and earth as a witness against you today. He said, listen, you have life. You have death. He said, you have blessing. You have curse. You have poverty. He said, choose. He said, it's a choice for you. Choose. God speaking. He said, I present them to you. Is before you. And I stand. I call the heavens. I call the earth. They have become witnesses today against you. That I have presented you with choice. With life and death. I have presented you with blessing and poverty. He said, but choose life. So that you will live. So that your descendants too will live. He said, choose not poverty. Not curse. If you choose curse. If you embrace curse. Even your children will suffer it. And that's why you have got to reject it. And then somebody's asking in his mind, how do I reject it? I am not going to tell you how that can be rejected today. This message will come in two parts because of time. But I will tell you what this is all about.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Moses was reminding them of the covenant that man had with God, or the covenant God had with man. He was reminding them. He brought it again to their consciousness. He said to them, you have got to choose. This is about choice. If you are poor today, it's your choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's not a sin. Poverty is not a sin. In fact, what is a sin is mistreating the poor, is maltreating the poor, is mocking the poor, it is ignoring the poor, it is taking what little that the poor has for yourself. This is what is the sin. It is not poverty that is a sin. It is maltreating them. It is mocking them. It is ignoring them. It is taking even that little that they have. That is what is sin. And God frowns at it. And this is one of the reasons why that even the rich, if he refuses to help the poor, he will not have life.
Hallelujah.
That's why I made mention to that scripture that we read, the rich young ruler, in that Matthew chapter 19.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
It's not a sin. Poverty in itself is not a sin. You know, if you read the account of Lazarus and the rich man, the wealthy man, in the book of Luke, chapter 16, we will not read it. If you read from verse 19 to 31, there is a wealthy man. There is also a beggarly Lazarus. This man had abundance. He lived in affluence. He lived in wealth. And then every morning he will set up his table and then he will eat. And then there's a beggarly man. There's a man called Lazarus. He's a beggar. He will come at the gates and say to him, I have come. Let me have the crumbs that fall from your table. The man will not even listen to him. Rather, he will release his dogs to begin to even lick the sword. The Bible said that the beggarly man was heavily sawed. And then the dogs will lick the sore of the beggarly man. He struggled to get the crumbs. Listen, it is not a good thing to be poor. I'm not glorifying poverty here. And I just hope you have an understanding of what I'm talking about today. I'm not glorifying poverty. But I'm only telling you there's a contrast between wealth and even poverty. There is a contrast. So the fact that you are wealthy does not mean that you have life. The fact that you are poor doesn't mean that you don't have life. You know what Jesus said in one of the Beatitudes? I think in the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 3. He said, blessed are they who are poor in the spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's what the Bible says. He said, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's not particularly talking about them that are poor. He says those who are poor in the spirit. In other words, those who surrender. They want to make progress. Praise God. They want to make progress in their lives.
Hallelujah.
They want to make progress in their lives. Poverty and death, fortunately, are the reasons why Jesus came. Are you aware? These are the reasons why Jesus came. This is the reason why Jesus came. In the book of Luke chapter 4, praise God, let's look at from verse 19. Let's start from 18 and then 19. It says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus speaking.
I am not the one that says, it's Jesus speaking. He says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What does the gospel do to the poor? The gospel is the only thing that will liberate the poor. Because the gospel will tell the poor what he's got to do. And then the poor will leave that state of poverty and then migrate to another state. He said, he has anointed me. He said, God the Father has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He said, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Look at verse 19. It says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What is the acceptable year of the Lord? It is not today. That's not the acceptable year of the Lord. I have read the scripture, but God gave me another revelation even yesterday. He said he has asked me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord is the year that the Lord, God the Father, made Adam and Eve in the garden and put them in the garden. That is the acceptable year. To live in affluence and in abundance. To live not in lack. Restoring what it was when God made Adam and Eve. That's the acceptable year of the Lord. So when you talk about this acceptable year, you are talking about how did Adam and Eve live in the Eden? How did they live? That is the acceptable year. So if this one has to be an acceptable year for you, it's a year that you live comfortably. It's a year that you're living comfortably. Hallelujah. He said, that is what I have come to do. Jesus came for restoration. He came to restore man to the original state. That is what he came to do. Telling you that poverty is not of him. He came to fight it. He came to liberate men from poverty. Praise God. That is what he came to do. This was what was said. Even Isaiah, prophet Isaiah, prophesied it. In Isaiah chapter 61, he prophesied it about Jesus. He said it about the man that will come with a view. Look at it. He said, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Jesus read it. He knew that this scripture was talking about himself. He said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news, the good tidings, the gospel to the poor. Why to the poor? Praise God. He was specific to the poor. He said, why? He wants to remove poverty. He wants to eradicate it. He wants to remove it. Poverty is not for the Christians. So for every believer, poverty should not be part of you at all. You must have this understanding and not live in poverty. Praise God. And that's why I pray that prayer. That I just hope that you have an understanding about what this is all about. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Listen, my people will not suffer any longer because there is something that they must know. And that thing that they must know, that thing, where's Joshua? They should go and call. They should bring him here. They should ask him to come. Because there's something that they must know that will cause them not to live in penury. How is it that we have Christians who have become beggarly every day of their life? Listen to me. The beggar, the Lazarus, went to heaven. The rich man went to hell. That's what the Bible tells us. And then the rich man cited Abraham and cited Lazarus. He saw that Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. And then he said, who is that man? Is he not that man that used to come and beg me for crumbs that is there? He said, Abraham, please tell him, even in death, even in hell, he was still sending message to Lazarus because he felt Lazarus was poor. Listen to me. You must not be poor in this life. He was still saying, he said, send him to bring water to me to drink. Because he felt that he was poor. Well, what audacity. Did he not know where Lazarus was? Did he not know where he was? He said, command him to bring water to me. Abraham said, no, there's a great difference. We cannot cross over. He said, okay, even if I have to suffer, there are brethren, my brothers and my sisters, I need that they go and be told that I have made a mistake. I should not have mocked the poor. I should not have, you know, maltreated the poor. I have made a great mistake in my life. Go and tell them that they should not make the same mistake that I made. He told them. He said to them, they must not make that same mistake. He said, no. Abraham said to him, you need not worry. Where you are, there's no going back. Where we are, there's no going back. They have prophets. They have pastors that will speak to them. He said, Moses is there to speak to them. They should hear Moses. We are here. We are speaking to you. Hear us. If you do not hear us, I don't know how it's going to end. He said, Moses is there. They should hear Moses. He is speaking to them, but they will not hear. Praise God. He said, the presence of Moses there, that is why we're here. The Bible talks about the fivefold ministers. He talked about the pastor, the prophet, the apostle, the teacher. He talked about the evangelist. He said, now for the building of the body of Christ, until Christ comes. So we are here to speak these things. It's our responsibility. If we do not speak them, we'll be punished for it. Praise God. It's not about the men of God that will come preach prosperity. Prosperity is beautiful, but there's a way that it comes. And that's why I'm telling you, there's a line, there's a dichotomy, there's a contrast between poverty and even riches. And it must be understood. A man that has wealth and refuses to help the poor is not a wealthy man. He's nothing but a miserable man. Praise God. But this is not to say you will remain being poor. No. Jesus said, I have come. Do you know what the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, I think verse 9? It says, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, he became poor, that through his poverty, we will become rich. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. Can you display? He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For there's a grace that has come to us as believers. He said, for you know this grace that has come from our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Jesus was a rich man. He has everything. He was not in lack. Everything he wanted, he had it. The one that was not even available, he commanded it. He said, though he was rich, he made himself poor so that by that poverty, will become rich. It means that God does not love those who are poor. That's what it means. Because poverty takes your sense. It takes your voice. The wisdom of the poor stinks. A wise man, a very wise man, even though he's wise, when he speaks, have you not even noticed? Don't you go to the villages? Have you not noticed that when you go to the villages, even the poor, today, it is those ones that have wealth that command what happens in the village. The elders are talking. The elders today, they take bribe. They look, because of poverty, they have sold their wisdom to the younger ones who would have learned from them. It means that the wisdom of the poor stinks. Is of no value anymore. The voice of the poor is not heard. It's not heard. Are you going to be like that? Are you going to be like that? Say, God forbid. Your voice must be heard. Your voice must be heard. Listen to me. When I was growing up as a young boy, I saw my mother suffer. And then I saw people mock my mother. They mocked her. she did not have the wherewithal to even send us to school. And then she will go to a very far place on a daily basis to go and look for something that he wants to feed us. Then the people talk about going to school. And then my mother couldn't buy wrapper. He couldn't. And then they mocked her for that reason. And I watched people mock her. I watched people mock her. And then I gained admission. I made a resolve. I made a few resolves. I said, as long as I live, I will not trouble this woman, but I will graduate and I will make her proud. I came from a poor home, but I made a resolve. I said, for this thing that they have done to this woman, listen, my dressing that you see me dress today is a decision. It's a decision that I made. I said, because I will not live that life. If my mother lived that life of poverty to train me and to bring me to this stage, why should I repeat it? Some of what Jesus came, he died. In spite of his riches, he died as a poor man. And then that through his poverty will become rich. And yet you are still here poor. You're making mockery of his sacrifice and his death. You are making mockery of it. So it doesn't matter the family that you come from. It doesn't matter where you're raised. You cannot blame your uncle. You cannot blame your father. I did not have my father to train me. But I had that woman who suffered, who understood the value of education. And then he could not have wrapper. And she could not attend ceremonies because she didn't have wrapper to go. I said, Mother, I will graduate and I will give you the best rappers in the world. Unfortunately, and why I cry is because she did not live to see it, to see me this day. Hallelujah. So it's a decision. Poverty is a choice, it's a decision. It's not about where you are, it's not about where you're coming from. It's not about who trained you and who did not train you. It's something that you must make up your mind. I left my father, I left my mother at a very young age. I made a decision. The life that you see today is purely a decision. Whether my marriage, whether my children, whatever it is, a decision. Therefore, you must take control and make decision about your life. God is watching you to make your decision of your life. God is watching you on a daily basis. And the decision of your life that you make, that you shall become. I am not the one that will make it for you. Fortunately, I am fulfilling destiny. I am fulfilling purpose. Why? I am telling you what you should be from the scriptures that you may follow it and then be liberated. Do you not understand? He said, you have God, little children. You have already overcome them. He said, greater is the one who lives in you than he that lives in the world. He said, Jesus lives in you. Then you are the greatest. If Jesus is the greatest, you are the greatest because you are the carrier of Jesus. Why should you carry Jesus and be begging? Why? Why should you carry him and not be comfortable in life? I have come to encourage you. I've come to encourage you this day. Because there is so much that you should do. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4. He said, you have God, my little children. God is calling us. He said, we are his children. He said, also, we have already overcome them. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. He said, for anyone that is born of God overcomes the world. For that is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Are you born of God? He says, then you are an overcomer. That means that you already have also overcome poverty. Poverty is not of God. Reject it. Hallelujah. Reject it. It's not of God. It's not of God. Did I have challenges? challenges trying to meet up with my decision? Yes. I had great challenges. I schooled in the University of Jos. I cannot travel from Ila to Jos. Who will give me transport money to travel? Who will give me transport money to return? So I will go and I will stay in school. And hunger will beat me. And I will go to the bush and I will pluck guava and eat. But I made a decision. I will not spend an extra second in that school because my mother will be heartbroken. So everything that I did, I looked at that woman who was suffering, who was carrying basin, who would trek every day. Every day, every day. I'm not talking about... He would trek like 6 kilometers, go and come back. It's a distance that is from here to Ugeli. And then... Listen, even as an undergraduate, some of you, you carry phone, you want to do Yahoo Yahoo. Listen to me. You are wasting your time. Because then, Yahoo Yahoo is very temporal. It's temporal. It's very temporal. I stand here to tell you it is. And then, I will wait for her. 4 o'clock in the day, she had not returned. And even as a young boy, I would have cooked and waited for her. And then I will begin to trek to go and meet her. And then I will carry the basin of fish from her to my head. Do you know what it means for an undergraduate to carry basin? What do they call it? Tray. Tray. You know how they put the fish? They what do people say that they share them? You know how they share the fish? And as an undergraduate, I will carry it on my head. And I will go the whole of my village selling it. Because she was worn out. It was all those things that made her die at a time that she was not supposed to die. And then you will come here and blame your mother that your mother did not have anything to train you. You will come here and blame your father that your father is a useless man. It is not your father that is useless. It is not your mother that... It is you who have refused to do something and progress in your life. It is not your mother, it's not your father. Don't you understand? I will stop here. But next time that this message will come, it will come part 2. And I will tell you how to overcome it. And begin to walk on that path that Jesus has already created for you. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I asked them to bring Joshua. Come. God is going to clothe you. He's going to clothe you. You will not depend on any man to attain your height. You will not depend on any man to attain the greatest height that you attain. God himself is going to pilot your affairs. He will carry you in his hands. You will not make mistake in life. He will stop you from marrying a wrong woman. He will stop you from marrying a wrong woman. And so this day, if I walk in that, listen, I am called after the order of David. And my call is to make men, is to bring men, is to raise men to a level. David, the Bible said, David raised mighty men from indigent people. He raised them. They became mighty men of valor. They became men of influence. Stand. You don't need your mother. You don't need your father to come to where you will be. But this day, in the presence of people, I will hug you and I will clothe you and I request, oh God, if I have had a covenant of wealth with you, my father, let this covenant, oh God, be shared with Joshua Efe in the name of Jesus. And so, Hashka Narabadoshka. Shakadonzehish. Alibra di Hikatoshka. Hesh. Ekakash. Listen. I need come. I have told you. Your real identity will be revealed to you. There's an identity that you have. It's not oppressional in your life. But by the unction of the Holy Ghost, by the God of heaven, that identity will be revealed to you. You will begin to manifest and walk in the path that God has ordained for you. You are walking on the wrong path. You are walking in the wrong identity. You are living in the wrong identity. There's an identity that God has made you. Hey! There's an order that you will walk. And you will not miss that order. You will not miss that order. Your family will not suffer anymore. Because you are supposed to be a great man, but you're living under it. Father, reveal this identity to him and let him walk in it. Reveal it to him and listen to me. Listen, you must speak rightly. You must speak the right things. You must confess the right things. Do not say the wrong things. By the God that I serve, that identity be revealed, and it shall become operational in your life, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Lift up your hands towards heaven and just glorify the name of the Lord. Say, Father, I reject poverty. I surrender to the leadership of Jesus. I surrender to the lordship of Jesus. Christ, I trust that you shall supply all my needs according to your riches in glory. Can you pray that prayer? Begin to reject poverty. Reject poverty. Say, poverty is not of God. Reject it. Surrender to the lordship of Jesus. Surrender to the lordship of Jesus. Surrender to the lordship of Jesus. Malaka don't say him brady hands. Regarded the Badosi Katush. Harim brady had a dosh carabadesh. Elim brady got a Badosi Andeshka. Arakada the Badosi end. Hey, Shadda the Badoska. Hey, hey, hey. Mashika de the Badoska to Shabradi Katush. Hey, hey. Hey, hey, the Bible says, you shall remember your God. You shall remember God, for he is the one that gives you power to make wealth. Say, oh Lord, on this day, I remember you. On this day, I remember you. I ask, oh God, that you endue me with power to make wealth and to live according to your calling upon my life, in the name of Jesus. I will not live another man's life. I will not live another man's life. Release upon me, oh God, that creative ideas. Release upon me, oh God, that creative ideas. Release upon me, hey, give me strategies, oh God, to win. Already cut every poverty in my life, in the name of Jesus. Bless my finances. Ask the Lord to bless your finances. Ask the Lord to bless your finances. Ask the Lord to bless your finances. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It is done. As you have prayed and as you have declared, so shall it be unto you. So shall it be unto your family. In the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And in Jesus' name we are praying.